So as I was praying about it this afternoon, I want to start out, thank you, Father. Lord, I just give you praise. Can we just pray for a moment? Hallelujah. Now, if you're here and you know how to pray in the Spirit, let's just pray in the Spirit together. Thank you, Father. Gebo kodra batananamanda shi brokto sog lebene. Ebo nanamange dede si kiribate. Ebo kodre bete ne mande. Kumbrande lede hi clamande. Te shi klobo kodre bete. Gebo kodra mandala nanasi kidemende. Ebo kodre bete. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just give you praise right now. Father, we thank you. Your will be done. Everything that is spoken, everything that is done tonight. Lord, let it just be in order and according to your Spirit. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yeah, I'll do that. So, a little instruction for tonight. And as I share a few things, and then as we move into what Activate is all about, a little instruction for tonight is be sensitive to the Spirit of God about seeing something new and something fresh. What I mean about that is not some new deep revelation or something like that. But what I mean is it would be very easy. We have such a mature body. It would be very easy for everybody to get up and share a word based on something that maybe God showed them last week or that they heard a month ago or something like that. But what we're kind of looking for in this moment is, Spirit of God, what are you saying fresh right now? What we would call kind of a rhema word. That's a Greek word, rhema, for a word that God breathes, in a moment for a specific situation, for a specific, now there may be something that he breathes on a scripture that or something like that. It's like, oh wow, I need to share that, and that's okay. But what you're wanting to do is hear something kind of fresh. There's life that comes from it, kind of a joy that comes from it that you know is going to build up and edify, and you feel like you must share. Okay, and so just get ready. I think there'll be a lot of people that the Lord uses tonight. Praise God. All right, turn with me in your Bible to Mark chapter 2. Father, you are amazing. You are amazing. Thank you, Father. So in Mark chapter 2, I believe it is. Now let's go back to chapter 1 and let's look at verse 40. So what I want you to begin to think about for a moment, let me just ask very quickly, what are the things that you are hearing in the news the most right now? What? Okay, coronavirus. Who else said something different? Does everybody say coronavirus? Is that what everybody said? Anything else? Election stuff and all of that. Okay, but you're, for the most part, most people went straight to coronavirus, right? And that's not a virus that you get after drinking Corona beer. Okay, I'm just, you can flow in the Spirit and still tell a dad joke at the same time. It actually works that way. So this has been on my heart a little bit today, and the Lord's given me some instruction about some of these things, and so that we can look at it, because there is now such a fear and such panic worldwide with regards to this, because of the deaths and because of the infections and all of those things. And now, we're hearing about the deaths in Washington State that has happened as a result of it, is that everybody is beginning to think about how this is going to affect their lives. And it's because there is so much news that is coming out about this. There are churches that are having to shut down in Hong Kong and in China. I talked to Glenda Rufus today in Hong Kong, and their church is still open, but there are many churches in Hong Kong that cannot have service and as a result of this. And it's devastating their economy. So what does a believer do in the face of such news? What does a believer do, and what's wisdom say, and how are we to approach this? Spirit of God, give us a word with regard to this so that not only will our heart be assured before you in regard to these things and what you have to say about it, but also that we may bring peace and comfort to those around us. So Jesus had to deal with this a little bit. In verse 40 here, it says, there came a leper to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You know, isn't it interesting that last year the Lord had been talking to us about starting into, on Wednesday nights, this focus on healing, 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 healing. Every night this year, every Wednesday night, we've been focusing on healing. You know, we had no idea that this coronavirus and this thing was going to be such a huge deal. But the Spirit of God, Bible says the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. You listen to Him, He will have you so set up and so prepared for whatever's coming, you don't have anything to fear. Thank you, Father. You know, leprosy back in Jesus' time was very contagious. It was something that, according to the law, that if somebody was found with leprosy, which was a contagious skin disease that was debilitating, that people lost, as it ate up their skin, lost their fingers and toes and noses and things like that. It literally ate them up. And so they had to yell in the street, unclean. Unclean, unclean, to let people know, get out of the way. I'm contagious. I'm unclean, you know, and so people would move out and they were the outcast of society. Nobody would be around them. Nobody would touch them. They ended up actually having to live kind of in their own communities because they couldn't spend time with family, friends, or anything. And so here's this leper comes to Jesus knowing that he has the ability to heal him. He says, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, I want to just share one thing about this. This isn't about Jesus healing the leper. Leprosy, you know, sometimes we'll pray for everybody, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed. You'll see that every time with leprosy, it wasn't about being healed, it was about being cleansed. He cleansed is a different Greek word. He cleansed leprosy. There was a virus. Leprosy was a virus. There was a virus that had taken residence in a person's body. Thank you, Jesus. This is awesome. And so what Jesus needed to do, what needed to happen, not just to be healed, he didn't need the skin to be healed, he needed the virus itself, that root, the thing that was causing it, to be cleansed away from the body. And so that's why I said, if you can, you will make me clean. He wasn't looking for healing. He was looking to be cleansed of this plague. Okay? And so if you ever have the opportunity to pray for somebody with leprosy, I'm just saying, oh, there's water right there. I think I'll just step back. And more than likely you won't, but anybody that's dealing with a virus or whatever, sometimes it's not just healing. They need to be completely cleansed of the plague. Just a thought, okay? And so Jesus, verse 41, moved with compassion, look at this, put forth his hand and touched him. He did what? Touched him. I wonder how he touched him. I wonder if he thought, okay, let me, you know, and if he was really, really, you know, wishing that he didn't have to touch him, you know, or if he just like, what do you think? Somebody very contagious standing here in front of you and asking for you to heal or to cleanse. What's going on in your heart regarding what you're going to do? Now, this is important because the fact of the matter is that Jesus walked and demonstrated the way that we should walk and the way that we should live and what should be in our heart, right? Do you think Jesus had any concern about the leprosy? Why not? Somebody, come on, tell me.
He knew that he was the healed and that no sickness or disease can even come nigh him.
Good answer. Good answer. Who else? Who else got something? Okay, Rachel, run up here. If you're new here, you need to see Rachel. Orange shirt, LOF, Guest Connect, welcome.
Okay. I was just thinking that he saw him healed. And so I felt like he saw him in the spirit. So even though he was standing in front of him as a leper, he saw him as a healed person already because he saw him in the spirit.
It's good too. It's good too. I'm still looking for another answer. That's good. All of us right. I'm not saying it's wrong. There's something else that I'm looking for. He knew his authority. Okay, what else? What else? He was anointed by the Holy Ghost to heal. That's great, Sherry. The virus couldn't touch him. I want to know why. Come here, Noah. No, come here, Noah. That's a long walk. Well, you know.
I said he was moved with compassion. So he saw, the compassion trumped anything he saw. It was that love that superseded.
Okay, good, good, good. All right, Eddie.
Come on. I'm thinking Jesus was aware that he was sinless. And any sickness is a form of death, and that only happens if you sin. It's a wage of sin. Yeah. He's not affected by any of that.
That's good, too. That's good, too. These are all right questions. What did you say for, Wendy? So how about I just kind of bring it all together in kind of one thought, okay? All of this is exactly right. Every bit of it is correct. What I want to focus on is the life that was in him is way more powerful than the death that he was about to touch. What was in him actually is more powerful than what is out there. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I'll try to do this bit in about 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes max, but hopefully very quickly. I just really felt that we had to get this truth and focus. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because, what does it say here? Because what? He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in you, say, he who is in me is greater than that which is in the world. Now this time say it like you mean it. He who is in me is greater than that which is in the world. Come on, say it again. He who is in me, say it this way, Jesus who is in me is greater than anything in the world. Jesus who is in me is greater than coronavirus, is greater than the flu, is greater than cancer, is greater than any contagious disease. Amen. The life, the Bible says, that was in him was the light of men. Now you might say, well, that's Jesus. What about us? Well, this scripture talks about us, but let's look at an example. Let's go to Acts chapter 28. In Acts chapter 28, Paul, on his way to Rome, was shipwrecked and ended up on an island where there was just what they called barbarians, these native people that lived on this island of Malta. And so in verse 2 here, it says that the natives showed us unusual kindness. Luke's writing this. He was with Paul at the time. For they kindled a fire, made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. This is a poisonous snake that as Paul was gathering a brush and sticks that there was a snake inside that, and as he laid it on the fire, this thing reached out, struck him on the hand. But when Paul, let's see, and then in verse 4, so when the native saw the creature hanging from his hand, so here's he's hanging now, which means the venom is going into him, they said to one another, well, no doubt this man's a murderer, whom though he escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. But look what happened. Paul shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. Suffered no harm. So think about that. A cobra, a rattlesnake, something like that. You find yourself in a place, boom. You pick it up, it's hanging off your hand. It didn't just bite you, it's still there hanging on you. Why was Paul able to just shake it off? It doesn't even look like, he got all concerned and started saying, well, in the name of Jesus, this venom's not going to hurt me. And it doesn't even give us an indication that there was anxiety and worry and all of that. You know, the Bible actually says that you can pick up deadly snakes and it will not hurt you. Those that, like he already had a promise, nothing by shall by any means hurt us. See, Paul lived in that reality. Paul lived in that belief. Paul lived in this place of knowing that greater is he that is in, that there was more life in him than the poison and the death that was trying to come into him. Come on, get that. There was more life because of Jesus and the Holy Ghost on the inside. Paul's the one that wrote in Romans 8:11. He said that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if he dwells in you, he will give life to your mortal, to your fleshly body. Okay? And then finally, this one thought. There's a scripture in 1st or 2nd Corinthians says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure, Jesus himself, the glory of God, on the inside of us, that though we were pressed in from the outside, we have the glory of God on the inside pressing back out. The real question, child of God, is in this time when the media and when Satan would try to bring fear into our lives, fear through the media, fear through news, fear through other people, as people are panicking and that sort of thing, is what you are hearing and seeing and what is coming at you from the outside, is it having a greater effect? Are you an empty bottle? If I were to take a bottle of water and empty it out and I were to take that plastic bottle, how easy would it be to crush that bottle? The pressure from the outside would crush that bottle very easily, right? Okay, is that where you are, if you're watching by live stream, are those things pressing in on the outside and creating fear in your heart, creating anxiety, creating distress, creating panic? What are you going to do? Or, remember I talked a couple of weeks ago on Sunday about being filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you going around being so filled with the Spirit of God and so focused on what is true and in Him on the inside, is it would be like now taking a bottle full of water with a cap on top and now try to squeeze it, and the pressure on the outside is not going to cause it to be crushed, because what is filled up on the inside is more powerful than what's coming in from the outside. Get that picture. Jesus could touch leprosy without any fear that he was going to get it, because he knew what he had, where the Bible says, where sin abounds, grace much more and super abounds. Child of God, what you have on the inside of you is more powerful than any flu symptom, than any disease, than the coronavirus, whether it's natural made, whether it's man-made, whether it's made in China or not. It doesn't make any difference. What Jesus is to you on the inside, he is the giver of life. He is the one who is victorious. You should not react with fear and with panic, but rather react in victory and in knowing who you are as a child of God. You can walk confidently. But But you have to make the decision about what you're going to believe.